Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be discussing a topic today that is near and dear to my heart, as it is to my guest's heart, who is going to be with us, Linda Anderson. And she and her husband have come out with another very special book on animals, and it's Animals and the Kids Who Love Them. And this has the most compelling photograph on the front of this little boy who's holding on his lap this adorable little dog that's got eyes as big as saucers. And there's just this wonderful warmth that comes through in this photograph. Linda, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Well, it's delightful to have you on again. You and your husband are involved with so many different animals, and you have written how many books now on animals?
This is actually our 14th book.
14th book. My goodness. Well, you always manage to find a way to bring in a paradigm of understanding that sometimes people are not aware of. Now, so many of us have had pets when we were growing up. Some had all kinds. Some maybe just had a little hamster, or maybe they actually didn't have a chance to get involved with animals except maybe through a family member or just being involved in some way with some family in the neighborhood that had a kid and they formed a bond. Animals are just so significant. You and your husband founded the Angel Animals Network, and you donate part of your proceeds on your book sales to various animal welfare organizations. And you yourself, you and your husband, how many pets do you have at this time currently?
We have a dog, a cat, and a bird.
Oh, you only have three.
Yes.
Well, that's enough to handle. What kind of bird do you have?
He's a cockatiel. Very, very cute. Beautiful yellow bird with big orange cheeks.
Wow. They all get along then?
Well, yes, but we don't leave them alone together. Not with the bird. We make sure that the bird is in a different room when we leave, so that there's never any temptation.
Well, there is such a wonderful introduction in the front of the book about you and your husband Alan and some of the animals you had. What you called your black and white tuxedo cat Cuddles,
mm-hmm.
that has a particular cry. And this is something that I think almost everybody has a story to tell about an animal. Haven't you found that?
Pardon me?
Haven't you found that almost everybody has a story to tell?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we literally have thousands of stories now. We've been doing this since 1996. And all we have to do is mention our name in Angel Animals Network, and people say, oh, I have an angel animal. And, of course, they immediately start telling us their story.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about one of the stories you have in your book. It's regarding animal-assisted therapy. And it was regarding an American child psychiatrist, Boris Levinson. Tell us about him and what he discovered and how it was that he coined a particular term.
Well, he was a child psychiatrist, I'm trying to remember what 1964. It was back in 1964, and when he was doing therapy with a child, he had his dog. Just happened to have his dog in the room, and as so often happens with these things that people discover, they kind of seem to happen accidentally. And he noticed that when the dog was in the room, the little boy would talk. But when the dog wasn't in the room, the little boy wouldn't talk. And so he started having the dog be with the little boy during his therapy because the most likely the little boy would tell his problems to the dog. And then the psychiatrist would kind of listen in. And he actually coined the term pet therapy and is considered to be the creator of what eventually grew into animal-assisted therapy, which is the modern-day term that's used most often.
And that has proven to be so very, very significant. And many people have incorporated the use of animals in so many variable aspects of therapy. And it really is proving to be something very special, and many times animals have to be trained, depending on what the therapy is. But it's a wonderful way when children, especially if they're very disturbed, heavens, it can even happen with adults, but especially with children, they will totally focus on the animal and they feel safe. It's as if they feel safe talking to that animal, even though subconsciously they may be aware of the fact that people are listening in on the conversation. It's so important that they have that feeling of trust, and that's what the animal gives.
It is. I keep thinking about this woman in our book, Tanya Welsh. She has a nonprofit organization called Natural Connections Learning Center, and she wrote about three different instances in the story that she wrote for the book that took place during her therapy with children. One was with a llama, and another one was with a chicken named Woodstock, and another one was with a horse. And but what she talks about is she says that the children, you know, she doesn't get anywhere if she tries to sit in an office with a child. But when she takes the child out in nature and lets them interact with an animal that they feel comfortable with, the child will start to talk. They'll relate to the animal, possibly even in a way that they relate to family members.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to see dynamics going on. They'll just start to open up and, as you said, feel more comfortable. And she just finds that one time she slipped up and said something about the child having therapy, and the child was just shocked because she had no idea that this was therapy,
mm-hmm.
but it actually was. She was able to help these children tremendously by connecting them with nature and animals.
Well, I think, again, it's that sense of safety. And as you've mentioned, you've got a story in here about a chicken and a llama, and the photo of the llama is a hoot.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, I just love it. And that's another thing about your books. You have some of these wonderful photographs
mm-hmm.
that are so very, very special. But I wanted to talk about actually one of the first stories that you have in your book, because it's not just one-sided. Many times the animals, and I've known that this has been very significant with dogs, I've been aware of this, and also with horses. Horses are just so intuitive, and I've interviewed and I've known people that have worked with horses in a therapy environment. But you have got a story here about a miniature horse whose name was Patty Pat, and Tom Russo of New Coxsackie, New York, tells the story about how the horse benefited from the interaction with the child and vice versa. Tell us this wonderful story. It is just incredible.
It really is. The little girl at the time that this took place, her name is Tori, and she was 5 years old, and she had a immunodeficiency that was similar to like the boy in the plastic bubble,
mm-hmm.
and she just couldn't. She was constantly ill, and she couldn't be around any type of germs or, you know, anything like that. She was just very thin and pale, and there was just so many things that were wrong with her. But Tom had a friend named Newkirk who had some horses, and they decided to take Tori out to see the miniature horses. And there was one horse that was that they call Rebellious. Her name was Patty. And Patty turned out to be Tori's favorite horse. Well, when Tori would show up, Patty would just come from wherever she was in the pasture and rush to the gate to meet Tori. And it was just, as their relationship unfolded and developed, they began to see that not only was Tori becoming so much better because of the relationship with Pat, but Patty Pat was becoming calmer and less rebellious. And they actually wound up with such a happy ending in their relationship that Tom and his wife brought Patty Pat to live with them on their property. And so they had kind of a constant relationship going then.
And it just made a difference. And the photo of the child, the little girl, and this pony, Tori and Patty, is one of the most loving photographs you could ever imagine. And both of them just seemed to be beaming. The common bond between these two beautiful forms of life, young girl and this miniature pony, what a difference. And I think it brings something forward, and that is so many times, as adults, we sometimes are overprotective and we want to insulate a child from everything. And I've known people that say, oh, the animals are dirty. Oh, you don't want to do this. Well, you can't live your life in a bubble. And your animals, everything has bacteria or microorganisms on it and in it. That's just life. I don't know of any living thing that doesn't have it. But to build up immunity, to build up an immune system, joy and love and sharing and interaction contributes a lot towards wellness. And that was one of the biggest components between this child and this animal.
It really was. You're absolutely right about that. Tori's whole attitude, her family's attitude, their whole consciousness as a family changed as mm-hmm. a result of the relationship with the horse. And one of the things I thought was so interesting was that this horse, I mean, it can't be stressed enough that this horse would not let anybody near her. She mm-hmm. she didn't like to be touched. You know, she was in a bubble herself.
Right.
And one time she was her leg was seriously injured. She wouldn't let anybody change her bandages until Tori was there. And when Tori was there, she would sing to Patty Pat and talk to her. And then Patty Pat would calm down enough for her bandages to be changed. I mean, that's how strong this relationship was.
It's amazing. Anytime someone makes an asinine comment to me that animals are not intelligent, or the term, they're just dumb animals, they don't understand anything, they're out of their minds. They have not been willing to look at the interaction of life with life. And just because the horse can't speak our language doesn't mean that there's not an understanding and another language that's being shared. And whether it's a horse, a dog, a cat, a bird, I see it in wildlife. And I really think that that's one of the gifts that you and your husband have given through your many books, this being book number 14, Kids and the Animals, that they love. I really think that this is so significant. And when you read these various stories, it doesn't make any difference what the animal is. It could be a turkey, it can be a llama, it can be a guinea pig, it can be a rat, it can be a bird. Dog, cat, doesn't make any difference. There is that bond that when it's established is so very, very powerful. And I'm so grateful in today's world that they're allowing animals into hospitals, that they're and into children's wards and into the nursing homes. That's having such a phenomenal impact, and we'll share some of the stories about this. I want to talk about a turkey. I threw that in my last couple of remarks because this I just loved. And it's about a blind teenager and a turkey. And how in the world? You know, we all look at turkeys and all we know is that they go gobble, gobble, gobble. And they're fat and they wander around and they don't seem to have too much in the way of brains, according to many people's definition. What happened that made this turkey different?
Well, I don't know exactly what made her different, but she was going to be Thanksgiving dinner when she was rescued.
Aha!
So that probably helped quite a bit to you know, raise her awareness of survival.
Mm-hmm.
But she, the turkey's name is Chloe. And so I'll get to her in a second. First, I'll introduce Julia, who's the little blind girl. Julia was 6 years old, and she was, except for being blind, she was a very joyful, happy little child. The Los Angeles, the very big Los Angeles earthquake happened, and it traumatized her so badly that she never spoke again after the earthquake.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
She became isolated, even to the point of being violent, and just this child who completely withdrew, didn't want have anything to do with anybody. And, you know, the teachers in her special school weren't able to reach her. She was just really having a hard time. So that's Chloe. Then the second character in this story, that's Julia. The second character then is the turkey, Chloe. So Chloe was rescued by Ellie Lax, who's founder of a place called the Gentle Barn, which is in Santa Clarita, California. It's one of Ellen DeGeneres' favorite charities. And she and Portia de Rossi have gone out there. They've filmed. They've had them on Ellen's show. And it's just a really a special, warm place. And what they do is they rescue farm animals that are abused or neglected. They bring them to the Gentle Barn, and then people bring children out to the Gentle Barn to who have special needs, mm-hmm. to interact with the farm animals. So Ellie rescued Chloe from a place where she was going to be slaughtered for Thanksgiving dinner, and she had been very terribly abused, and she brought Chloe to the Gentle Barn. Chloe made such a remarkable recovery that Ellie took her sort of like as a poster turkey with her to fairs, and at one of the fairs, there was a country music band. They started playing, and Ellie couldn't find Chloe. She went to find her, and Chloe was on the dance floor dancing to the music of the country music band.
A dancing turkey, folks, for real. Okay.
And everybody was kind of gathered around, and so Chloe was this wonderful ambassador for the Gentle Barn. Well, they brought Julia out on a bus with other children for a visit to the Gentle Barn, and the teacher said, oh, don't let Julia any place near the animals. You know, you have to be closely supervised because she's violent and she might hurt somebody. But Ellie just kind of have a feeling that Julia really would respond to these animals. She wound up connecting Julia with Chloe, and she told Julia about how Chloe likes music. And so she would sing to Chloe. And over the course of several visits, Julia, for the first time since she was 6 years old, she was a teenager by then, for the first time since she was 6 years old, started to sing along with Ellie, because she was feeling Chloe and petting her and relating to her and relating to her story. And through the course of the story, then you follow Julia's journey. And by the end of the story, Julia is graduating from high school. She's fully vocal, and she has completely had her life turned around by this relationship with Chloe and the Gentle Barn.
And the dancing turkey did it.
And the dancing turkey did it.
The dancing turkey did it. And that is what I love about these stories. It shows the individual personalities about these various animals. Now, one that really touched my heart a great deal, all of them did, but this one, Katie's, and she is an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous dog. And she got involved with a little boy by the name of Johnny. And this really was significant. And this is an exceptionally intelligent dog. Tell us about Katie.
Well, Katie is a golden retriever. And she was... I just lost her name, Carolyn Corbett. wrote this story. They're out in Denver, Colorado, Westminster, a suburb of Denver. And Carolyn was one of the first responders to the Columbine High School tragedy. And when she was trying to help these children, these teenagers and parents who were so devastated, she thought, you know, what would really help here is if we had a therapy dog that would help these kids so much. And so she went to the Westminster Sheriff's Office where she was volunteering, and she put together a proposal and wound up that Katie became the first therapy dog that worked directly with the justice system. And she began to take Katie to the court, and when adults and children had to testify in cases, then Katie would help by just doing her animal-assisted therapy kind of thing, keep making people laugh, letting them pet her, keeping them calm. She said that when Katie walks into a room, she assesses it first, and she goes exactly to the person who needs her the most and does exactly what they need. She said it's just amazing to watch. So this little boy, Johnny, that you were referring to, if you can imagine what it would be like for this little child to have to testify against his father in an abuse case. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fear that this little boy must have felt. And so she asked if Katie could go with the little boy into the judge's chambers. So for the very first time in Denver or Colorado even, a dog was invited into the judge's chamber, and the little boy was able to hold this little dog and talk about what had happened, and was and got through it just fine. He actually emotionally got through it fine with Katie's help. So it was just a tremendous thing. And then afterwards, they walked out, and they had to actually walk past this father. And so Katie and the little boy walked together past the father, so the little boy wasn't nearly as scared as he would have been. Mm-hmm. So it was just really, like you said, such a touching story.
It really was. And my feeling when I read this story was it was tremendous wisdom to allow this little boy to have the company of this beautiful retriever who is there and is big enough. You know, a retriever is a good-sized dog. Mm-hmm. So the child could feel that it had a protector. Mm-hmm. It really did. It wouldn't have been the same with a chihuahua. It
not
wouldn't have worked.
Quite. So maybe a distraction, but not a protection.
Right. And the retrievers are absolutely awesome with kids anyway. Mm-hmm. And they just have this wonderful temperament as therapy dogs. And then you have in your book, and for those of you listening, I'm talking with Linda Anderson, Animals and the Kids Who Love Them. These are all true stories that we're sharing with you. And one of my favorite dogs is, well, it's a little Sheltie. And you have a picture in here of a little Sheltie by the name of Lily. And a baby that she's next to, and that baby's face is just absolutely beautiful. It's beaming. It's so happy that Lily is there with her. She was in a hospital. Lily is a special therapy dog. And what is she, about 11 pounds, 12 pounds? She's just a little person.
Mm-hmm.
And she's called an angel. Well, there's a program at the Children's Hospital that's called an angel on a leash. Mm-hmm. And she is just perfect for this. Tell us a little bit about the Delta Society and what qualifies an animal and how are they chosen to be involved in working in these very sensitive environments with children.
Oh, I'm really glad you asked about that, because people want to know that, answer that question a lot, because they read these stories and they think, oh, I wonder if my dog could do that, or my, you know, we even have a therapy cat in the book,
mm-hmm.
and we have a therapy hamster. cognitive therapy.
I think it's great. Yes, yes, it's wonderful.
But at any rate, the Delta Society has a program that is very laid out where you take the animal through the program to train them to become, to do animal-assisted therapy. And then at various times throughout the year, you go to places where they're holding certification, and you take your dog through the, or the animal through the paces, and the animal then can become a certified animal-assisted therapist. And so it's a very, it takes a lot, you know, I mean, and the animal has to have a certain kind of temperament for it. I mean, we have a wonderful, wonderful dog, have a story about him in our book. He would not be a great therapy dog because he is terrific with kids, but it's always on his own terms. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's, you know, he has to choose you. You don't choose him. So
right.
you come flying at him, you know, and go, oh, what a cute little Cocker Spaniel. And he's going like, do I know you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't really have the temperament for it. But other animals are just, they're just, they love it, you know. They just get so proud when they put their little therapy dog vests on, and they're ready to go to the children's hospital or wherever they might be going. So, an Angel on a Leash is actually an organization in New York that is the nonprofit arm of the Westminster Kennel Club, and Barbara Babikian is one of their key volunteers, and she takes Lily to the Children's Hospital and to the Ronald McDonald House in New York and to another place that takes care of children who come from very poor backgrounds and need extra help with their homework and things like that, and also need help with they're in foster homes and things like that. So she takes Lily to these places, and Lily is just instinctual with this and loves it. And the story that Barbara wrote has so many layers to it and different facets to it, where we follow Lily through her paces as she interacts with all these different children and the things that happen as a result of it.
Yes, and one of them that is so special, it's about a little girl named Denise who's in the hospital, and she's going through a terrible, terrible time. She'd had surgery on her leg, and Lily's owner gives her instruction and tells her, cuddle up next to Denise. Cuddle up next to her. And she does that, and of course, then it's time for Lily to leave, and as they leave, and you never know the effect on a child, and the mother comes running out and talking to Barbara and saying, I want you to know my little girl talked and said, the only thing I need now is Lily by my side. And that is so powerful. It meant so much. This child was in so much suffering, and that little dog, that little Sheltie, made all the difference in the world to her. So she goes back, she sees this turn, and the one about the little boy who, after seeing Lily, wiggled fingers on a hand that had never wiggled. He just hadn't been able to do it for a long time. And he didn't want to let her go. He was just so excited. And that's what happens. There's this wonderful connection. You know, you think about it, a child is in a hospital. They have people probing them. They've got needles going into them. They're in pain. And I know how adults feel. They don't want anybody to bother them. But it makes all the difference in the world when that loving animal is there. And there's a telepathy that goes on between the children and the animals. It's incredible. I think it's awesome. I really, really do. I just think it's absolutely incredible. And, of course, we got to talk about the llamas. I just think these are such adorable animals, but I had never known they were called land dolphins, number one, and I didn't know you could teach them where to poop. That was number two. So, I mean, I learn something new every day. It may come in handy. Who knows? I don't ever expect to have a llama, but this is something that is amazing. And Mona Sam, she's in Troutville, Virginia. And she's got a llama named Munchkin. Tell us about some of her stories about these incredible animals.
Well, that's one of the things I think people will enjoy. Certainly something I enjoyed in interviewing Mona for her story was that all the things that she does with llamas, she is actually an occupational therapist, and she helps children and adults by petting the llamas, and they also get the fur from the llamas, and they make artwork with it, and the children can ride the llamas. She says that they're actually easier and safer to ride than horses. So she has pictures on her website of children riding llamas, and it's just beautiful. And she wrote about a little girl named Missy, who was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and was visually impaired. And this little child, she was just in really bad shape by the time she met little Buckwheat, a baby llama, and Vanilla Bean, the llama's mother. And over the course of this story, again, there was a healing that occurred as Missy started to kind of relate to these llamas and help to care for them, even to the point where she would come out to the farm to help Mona in taking care of the llamas and the other farm animals. And it's just been a remarkable rehabilitation and recovery for Missy. And she now is a teenager who is just graduating from high school and getting ready to go to college. And at the time of the story, you know, it just starts off with her in, you know, like I said, post-traumatic stress disorder and unable to function at all. She couldn't even go to school.
Well, these stories are incredible, and I know we're out of time, Linda. This is just wonderful. We've got Casper the Rabbit. We've got so much more. Animals and the kids who love them. Go to angelanimals.net, angelanimals.net. Linda and Alan put out a wonderful newsletter that always has special stories in it. But I think this would make a great gift for someone, and it's wonderful to be able to be aware of how significant animals are in our lives and the difference they can make. Domesticated animals of all kinds and wild animals, too, but these stories really will touch your heart. Linda, thank you so much for being with me today. As always, it's a joy.
Thank you so much.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo directly. You can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Are you feeling sometimes that you're getting a little bit of brain fog with the holidays? Well, don't worry about it. It will pass. Meanwhile, have a good time at whatever you're doing. This is Donna Sebo. We are back. We're not going to open up the phone lines yet because we have a very special guest today, Cindy McGonigal. Now, I have known Cindy. I met Cindy at the Northwest Women's Show in Seattle, Washington this past spring. And it was quite an experience because she is a palmist. And this is something, she's not only a palmist, she's been involved in the psychic work for a lot of years. But this is something you don't find very many people that are able to do. So she's going to be with us for this next period on the show. Cindy, welcome.
Hi, Donna.
Well, it's a delight having you. Tell us, what is it that makes palmistry so special, and how is it that you got involved with it? What attracted you to it?
Well, let's see. I have always been kind of fascinated with talismans and mystical symbols, and I actually kind of found my way into palmistry via the tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
I had a roommate in college who read cards, and so I, of course, asked her for a reading, and she gave me a reading, and I said to her, you know, that's not at all what I'm like, and asked her to do the reading again, which is probably the worst thing you can say to a reader. And so what she said to do is, here, take my book and go get your own cards. So I did. So I actually started with learning the tarot cards. And then I was in Denver at that time, and I was working for the Natural History Museum of Denver. And I would spend my lunch hours in, like, these old metaphysical bookstores, and I ran across a palmistry book. And I thought, this is fascinating. You know, these are symbols on the hands. And I bought a copy of that book and took it home and started reading it. And I promptly, you know, left that book, loaned it out to somebody who also thought it was pretty fascinating, and lost that book for many, many, many years. And then just recently, about 8 months ago, I found another copy of that book. And it's a good thing I lost that book, because a lot of the symbols and the meanings of the symbols in your hand were very negative. So, you know, palmistry can have a negative connotation unless you really know what you're looking at. So I fell in love with looking at people's hands, and like I said, I was working at the Museum of Natural History, so I was pretty young. I was in my early 20s, and I would go and look at the other artists who painted the backgrounds, the dioramas,
mm-hmm.
and look at their hands. And inside a mature person's hand, or somebody who's really working on what their life purpose is, will be really easy symbols to look at. One of the symbols I love to look at are what are called stars. So in palmistry, they kind of look like an asterisk,
mm-hmm.
and they would be all lined up under certain fingers, because each finger has a planetary representation. So, for instance, you know, Jupiter is your index finger, and then Saturn is your middle finger, and then the Sun is your ring finger, and then your little finger is represented by Mercury and those influences. So, of course, at the museum, the people's hands were, like, lined up with all kinds of stars underneath the Sun, which represents, you know, your fame. It represents, you know, you're working on your path. And so I would look at my hand, and, of course, I was really young, just starting out. I would kind of crush my hand up to get stars, you know. But
okay, now I've heard everything. You tried to crush your hand to get some stars. Okay, all right. That sounds like a kid. Okay.
Yeah, but what I found after reading hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hands, there tend to be certain traits that you can really see that are evident in the hand. And so I started to develop a little bit more understanding of, you know, where people were headed, you know, musical abilities, artistic abilities, you know, things along the career path. And then, of course, everyone wants to know about their love life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the heart line is the line that's closest to underneath your fingers directly. And so, you know, there's in palmistry, you know, if it's chained, that means you have trouble communicating. And if it's forked at the end, you know, just with two little forks at the end, that means that you're pretty wild, you know. And if you have three forks or four forks at the end, you know, that you're in a stable relationship with someone who loves and supports you. So those are all kind of really fun things, you know, that people love to hear about. Then the more serious things that I like to look at in the hand are around the fate line. The fate line runs from the base of the palm directly up to the middle finger. And when that's where I look for really well-formed five-pointed stars and six-pointed stars. And what's really fascinating today is that you can look at children's palms, and they have well-developed stars, meaning they have come in right now, and they have the ability to have clairvoyance, telepathy, great intuition, you know, all these subtle gifts that sometimes take us adults many, many years to develop.
Mm-hmm.
So I love being able to point those out to the parents. And then, of course, compare them to the parents' hand to see how they compare and to see the similarities and to show the parents that the children really do come in with these great, wonderful gifts.
Oh, I think that that's terrific. And one of the things that I came across many years ago was a publication, and I've got it somewhere in my library, done by a man, and I think it was in the late 1800s. He had really become interested in palmistry, had come across some people in Europe, and in working with palms, he said that there were patterns, not unlike what you said you observed after interacting with a lot of people. And he decided he was going to do some research on criminal patterning. And he was given access to jails and to actually documenting the handprints of various persons. And it was fascinating what he found in his research, that there were particular patternings in the hands that persons with criminal mindsets, what they displayed. And it was just an amazing read. And he tested it over and over and over again because he thought, this just can't be right. Maybe I'm trying to make something happen. But it's fascinating how the palms of the hand, one, have particular traits there, and two, how they change. Now, what's the difference between the right hand and the left hand?
Well, like I said to most of my clients, if you're right-handed, you tend to be, you use your right hand for most activities, and that shows the most line changes because you're always using your hand. Then the hand you don't use, or the non-dominant hand in most cases, you know, will show lines that are what I call hidden talents and abilities. And so I love to start off with looking at the hand that they don't use the most and then compare it to the hand that they do. And, you know, I really like to stress, because I'm listening to their angels and their guides telling me what talents and abilities they're bringing through, I lean towards, you know, much more hidden opportunities that can help them really bring their talents so that they can help others to help others is basically what I believe.
Mm-hmm. And with this, what is one of the most fascinating experiences, and I know you've had a lot of them, but when you met the person as a stranger and then you were able to look at both palms, because I know you do that, then what one stands out in your mind right at this moment as absolutely amazing you? Because I know many times there's the intuitive factor that comes in, as you said a moment ago, that combines with what you see as the practical applications in the hand. Tell us what the most significant event was at this moment that you can think of that really made you go, wow, this is not something I've ever experienced before.
Well, you know, because I'm getting the insights on a soul level, you know, from their angels and their guides, I'm, you know, sometimes able to see, you know, past life connections. Most of the time when I'm starting to read for somebody, and, you know, they often have their friends, you know, sitting in on the reading, and their jaws just drop. It's like, you know, I start to reveal things, you know, and they just can't believe it. And they kind of chuckle. They'll start laughing, and I'll always ask, well, what are you laughing about? And and then they'll say they can't believe what I'm revealing. And, you know, a lot of times I'm reading, again, for older people who think maybe that they're in retirement, but, oh, no, the lines in their hand show a lot more ability to move forward and help others on a greater humanitarian or community experience.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and so those people...
Excuse me. We have a very special event that's coming up, and I said we for a reason. And this is coming up in Portland. And for those of you that got an e-blast, just know I made a mistake on the date there. It's put in 2012. It's this month. In fact, it's the 17th that we're having this phenomenal event this Saturday. Cindy, tell us about this event that we're going to be doing.
All right. Well, first, I'd like to invite everybody. It's a free event that you can free admission, and it's being held at a place called Awakenings Wellness Center, which is in the southeast part of Portland, Oregon. And the address is 1016 Southeast 12th Avenue, Portland 97214. We're going to be doing mini readings, including palm and tarot, and of course, Donna will be here doing psychic readings. I'm also doing energy clearings to make sure that you're completely clear of any cords that others may have put on you that they didn't mean to, but you still have that need to be cleared so you can really come forward into your gifts. And we also We have a belly dancer named Deb Suki, and she's going to be doing an Egyptian candle dance for us. That'll be around 2:30 in the afternoon. And then we have Nicole Vanderhoff, and she's playing her crystal singing bowl. So you can come, relax, lay down on yoga mats, you know, watch a fabulous belly dancer kind of like mysteriously lead you into movements, and get some readings, find out what's in store for you for 2012.
Yes, and it is a wonderful event. And for those of you that got the email blast, I had a couple of typos in it, so I'm going to be sending out a corrected one. It was called to my attention. And I just think this event is going to be wonderful, and it's going to be so unique in the playing of the crystal bowls and with the dancing and everything else. It's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. Cindy, give us again the location and also the contact information so people can be in touch with you if they're in the Portland, Oregon area.
Okay, so my website is cindymcgonigal.com. You can find information about the event on my website. You can call 503-531-2758. For more information, and you can also find it at the awakeningswellnesscenter.com. Again, the event is going to be held at the Awakenings Wellness Center, which is located in Portland, in Southeast Portland, at 1016 Southeast 12th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. It's on the inner southeast, so it's really easy to get to from the freeway.
Well, I know we're just about out of time. Quickly, spell your name with your website so people know exactly how it will be. And it's in my newsletter, but also, Cindy, spell it out so people can go ahead and get that.
Okay. My first name is Cindy, and the last name is McGonagle. Just think of Professor McGonagall and Harry Potter.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, so check out her website, cindymcgonigal.com, and you can go into my newsletter. You'll find some information there, contact information as well. But if you're in the Portland area, this is a fun thing for the holidays, and it's, my goodness, what are the hours on this, Cindy?
It's from 1 to 4.
1 to 4, so you're going to have time before or after to do whatever you want. Come on in, have some fun with us. And just know you're going to walk away just feeling absolutely awesome about your life and just plain feeling good for the holidays. I mean, the holidays can be really hectic. Why not come and have some fun and relaxation and find out about what is going to be in store for you for 2012? Cindy, it's been a delight having you as a guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Good things to share.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We have some time if you'd like to call in and chat with me today. Telephone number to call in to is 888-627-6008. By the way, if you got an email blast from me, please do not be concerned about the fact that I put 2012 on it. I was working in that blast also with information regarding my class on January the 28th, which is 2012, but it meant to be 2011, which is this weekend where I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon, appearing. So I will apologize. I'm going to be sending out a new blast with a correction in it this evening, and you'll have all of that information there in front of you. My goodness, are you aware of that? Are you feeling like I'm feeling that I'm blinking, and before we know it, it's going to be Christmas? Wow, it's just going by like the wind. Well, let me tell you who's going to be coming up this week. We've got a wonderful, wonderful dynamic of people. Working parents, thriving families. If you're one of those people that you just feel guilty because you're having to work, you and your spouse, so that your family can enjoy having abundance, well, don't be guilty. We're going to be talking about how this can work for you in a very positive way. And also, Jane Baxter on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about how exercises helps with depression. In fact, it actually can get you out of depression. And during the holidays, that is something that's really big. People don't realize how important it is to be physically active. It makes all the difference in the world. And then creating personal presence. This is something that Deanna Buher is very, very good at talking about. And I think we all need to be aware of personal presence. It really does make a difference. And then on Friday, we'll be talking with Scott Cohen about petscaping. That's right, petscaping. So many times we have animals in our space and we don't realize what we need to do to make our environments, our backyard, front yard, side yards, whatever you've got available, proper for our animals and where we enjoy it just as much as they do. So this is something that I think is quite significant and just absolutely a joy. Okay, I want to give your 2012 winter horoscope. I know it's 2011, but hey, we're getting ahead of the game here. How about for those of you under the sign of Libra? Well, if it's regarding family, you've got to make sure you don't burn the candle at both ends. You've heard that old adage before. Well, what that means is you're going to burn out if you do not take care of yourself. So make sure you take the time to breathe. Make sure you take the time to be quiet. Just be by yourself. I don't know why it is that seems to be something societally that you're abnormal if you're by yourself. Well, you're not. Sometimes we need to have quiet space so we can replenish our energies. And for those of you under the sign of Libra, that is very important for you in the first quarter of the new year. And by the way, you're going to have an opportunity to do some traveling. Well, it's a holiday season. Is that a big surprise? Not really. But remember, wherever you go, the temptations to really eat those luscious, rich foods that the holidays are usually amply supplied with, I'm telling you, you've got to be sure that you think before you eat too much of something. We always should enjoy the food that's around us, and when we are going into people's homes or attending events where they're taking a great deal of trouble to present beautiful foods in front of us, we should enjoy them. We really should enjoy them. But keep in mind, have conversation, and you're not going to be as likely to overeat. And sometimes what I do before I go to a party, I always try to have maybe a couple of hard-boiled eggs, something that's going to allow me not to go into that low blood sugar thing where all of a sudden everything and anything that's handy I'm going to be eating because I'm so hungry. So that's just a tip, too, for those of you under the sign of Libra. Now, by the way, what about money? And what about your career? Well, you're going to be working pretty hard. You're going to be organizing yourself. You're really going to put your energy in the right place in the right way. Well, that's for the sign of Libra. We've got a few more to go because we've only covered Aries, Taurus, Gemini, and Libra. But we'll be sharing some more information for those of you under the rest of the zodiac. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful day or evening wherever you are. And we'll be here, same time, same place. Right here at bbsradio.com. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.